Welcome back, everybody. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Austin, and we have a special in-month sit-rep episode to bring to all you guys, because there's a couple things that I want to talk about. There's a couple things going on out there, you know, in the world. And if you guys are new, or maybe you haven't really listened to a lot of the podcast catalog, this is something I do from time to time. I will periodically do in-month releases, you know, out-of-cycle releases, if you will, where we have a second sit rep in a given month. If it's something important, if there's things to talk about that are what I deem to be, you know, worth the time, worth the energy, or if I have something to say that I really want to get out there. And there's a couple events coming up. If you guys have been watching the calendar, maybe you watch the news, maybe you keep up on some politics and things, you may be aware that we are getting a new president. At any rate, Donald Trump on Monday will become the next president of the United States. So he will be president 47 and president 49. You know, because of the break in between, obviously, where there was the 4 years of the Joe Biden administration here in the United States. So we're going to talk about some of that. I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, what's been leading up to this point in terms of, I guess, maybe a high level on the last 4 years, what some immediate expectations or I guess expectations is probably the wrong word. Predictions, I think, is more apt to describe what I'm going to get into, because I don't know if I have any real expectations. I do have some predictions. I guess maybe I do have expectations, but it's hard to set expectations with a situation like what Donald Trump is walking into, the state of the country being what it is, the state of the world being what it is. We're also probably going to get into a little bit of sports to kick things off, because I'm salty, I'm hurting, and I just, you know, when people are miserable, we love company. And I want to be seen. I want to be heard. I was told that in a work meeting, actually, this week. We had a really, really good team activity, kind of talking about human behaviors and human interactions and things like that. And something that our presenter, who's a fantastic lady, she's really, really good at her job. I know a lot of times people talk about HR departments at jobs, and they, you know, it's basically just to get people fired and whatnot. But she really is somebody who cares very deeply about the folks that she works with and about success and understanding people. So it was a really, really good experience. And she said that multiple times throughout our, I think it was like a 6-hour meeting that we had this past week. People want to be seen and people want to be heard. And that's definitely me right now, you know, and luckily I have a platform to do that. But before that, I want to say thank you to our presenting sponsors. We got a couple of them here at the Prepared Mindset. And the first is Custom Night Vision, guys. CustomNightVision.com is the website. You can head on over. You can check out everything they got going on. But right when you get to that homepage, you'll see that there's two buttons there. You can build a monocular device. You can build a binocular device. So whatever your flavor of night vision is, whether you're starting out building that first single tube, whether it's a Tonto or a PVS-14 or something, or you're building a bino, you know, dual tube setup, because you're big balling, you got the money for it, you got the appetite for it, you can click on that button. You can select your optics, guys. You can select your housing. A lot of these even have multiple colors. You can select, obviously, the tubes. And if you don't know which direction to go, if you have questions, if you don't know if the scratch is going to be worth it for the experience and things, that's okay. There's a chat function actually built into the website in the lower right hand corner. And you can reach out and you can talk to Ben or Kevin or Trevor, one of the guys at the custom team, and they will walk you through whatever questions you have. And guys, their mission really is to give you the most transparent buying experience possible, but also to make sure that you guys are completely satisfied as customers. I just had a buddy who worked through a different night vision company and, you know, had to send his housing and his device in, the whole thing, not just the housing, had to send it in for service. They had it for over a month. You know, he called 3 weeks in or 3.5 weeks in, and they had just had the technician take it and look at it. Had a different friend who ordered his PVS-14 through Custom Night Vision. Yes, there was an issue with it. He immediately sent it back to them, had immediate response, got a shipping label, and within a week or two, even during the holiday rush and all the crazy weather and everything, within about 2 weeks, had that device fixed and back to him, which is obviously in this story, way better of an experience customer service wise than some competitors in the industry. You guys, it's customnightvision.com. That is the website. The team there will take great, great care of you. Let them know that Prepared Mindset was the one that steered them, you know, steered you their way. Great, great folks with a wide selection of helmets, lights, nods, all kinds of good stuff. Customnightvision.com. Check it out for yourselves. Also here, I want to say thank you to American Defense Manufacturing. It's ADMMFG.com. That's their website. You can go check it out to see all the stuff I'm about to tell you about, including their upper Mod 2 upper receiver sets, their lower receivers. You can buy a complete rifle from them. Their lowers are ambi. They're actually really, really nice. If you're a lefty, I know Jared from Orion Training Group, he runs a American Defense lower because he is wrong-handed. I don't care what he says. They also make some outstanding component pieces. So things like scope mounts. They sent Josh and I some of their Delta scope mounts with the Delta ring mounts built in for things like an RMR or a T2. Very, very robust. And we actually just dropped a video talking, or a set of videos rather, talking all about this Mod 2 upper that they sent out to us, a 13.9 with a great Criterion barrel. We did a complete build from zero to one, where we set up the scope, we walk through scope leveling, and the mount is a huge part of that. Having a great, robust scope mount is critically important, you guys. Again, it's ADMMFG.com. Go check out their uppers, their lowers, their mounts, and a whole lot more. Now, speaking of Jared from Orion Training Group, we want to say thank you to Orion Training Group. They are a sponsor here of the Prepared Mindset podcast, you guys. OrionTrainingGroup.com is their website. And if you are looking to enrich yourself, you're looking to grow your capability, your learning is a top priority for 2025. Maybe it's even your resolution. You guys can head over to the website and check out the whole course catalog that Orion has available for the next, for this next year. So whether it's something like intro to basic comms and radio setup, or maybe there's squad comms class that Lindsay puts out that is just getting you a little bit further on down the line. Maybe it's a structure clearance course, or you want to connect with Blake and Alex and go through the small unit maneuver course. They have options. These guys are some incredibly, incredibly passionate and dedicated educators and instructors with, man, some of the most experienced dudes that have come together across the industry to share their knowledge and to bring it to you guys as civilians, not just gatekeep it to, you know, agencies and teams in the military. You guys, it's OrionTrainingGroup.com. Go check out the class catalog for yourself. Sign up and get better today. Lastly, certainly not least here, we want to say thank you to our good friends over at 100 Concepts. The website, for all you guys that may not know, is 100concepts.com. The motto, for those that you may not know, is do good, be dangerous, live free. And these guys are crushing it, man. Constantly dropping new stuff on the website. And it's not just new products. It's not just something new to kind of, you know, yank those bills out of your wallet, so to speak, right? These are some of their existing products. They find ways to enhance, find ways to make better. And they do that by crazy. They listen to their customer base. They listen to you guys. So they went from their Gen 1 light cap, which is what put them out there on the map. That turned into the light cap with the shock collar. They got away from the Ranger band. They heard you guys. People didn't like it. They had a hard time setting it up. And now have moved on to the ruggedized light cap. They listen. They take the feedback in stride. And they're always working on developing better solutions to make all of us more capable in the field. So that includes their pack screen, their chem light kits, the Fife loop that's, you know, a lot of people make fun of it. It's always out of stock, so it's really not that bad of an idea, is it? All kinds of good stuff. Again, the motto is do good, be dangerous, live free. There's some rad dudes doing some absolutely just outstanding work to make the community better. You guys, head on over to 100concepts.com and check out the website today. So thank you to all of our presenting sponsors. I'm actually recording this on Saturday night. It's actually, about 25 minutes. Yeah. About 25 minutes from being Sunday. I have not looked in the last probably 20 minutes, but I fear that the season has officially ended for my Detroit Lions. A lot of you guys listening to this, right? You guys don't do sports. I get it. But you do community. And I will tell you that in the last 4 years, having Dan Campbell here in the city as a coach and what the team has done to make this city more of a community has been a nothing short of a just fantastic thing. And you know, if any of you guys do follow, you know that we lost in the conference championship game last year to the San Francisco 49ers, who ultimately then lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. This year, we were a early Super Bowl favorite. We've been plagued with injuries, found a way to make it to 15-2, 15 wins. So we set a lot of franchise records, things that'll, I mean, really be difficult to beat ever again. And, you know, to have the season end this way, I went to my parents' house because it was kind of a thing we did, you know, every game, go to my parents' house, either they make food or we make food, or sometimes we would, you know, order out, but usually one of us would make the food. We just hang out, you know, quality time with my parents. They're getting older. Watch the game, you know, and a lot of times, yeah, we were able to pull games out. We went on like a 12 game winning streak and all this stuff, but, brought the city closer together for sure here. A lot of pride and things. It really, really stings that's kind of what is going on right now. A lot of emotion, you know, and I get it. It's inconsequential. It doesn't matter. You know, I get that stuff. And I know a lot of people really hate the NFL for the kneeling and all the goofy shit that they support and the spoiled athletes and things like that. And I got a lot of strong feelings about that shit too. You know, guys on the team, guys off the team that, just some of the stuff that they do, the way they behave and everything, I don't love it all. But I do love watching it, and I love being able to have that common connection. Honestly, with my dad, it's something that, you know, he's not even a huge Lions fan anymore, just given the history of failure. But, yeah, it's probably the one thing him and I think really connect on any level. So I lean into it, man. I lean into it really, really hard. And it sucks because the season's over, but it also sucks because really that's, you know, we're not going to be going over to my parents' house again. I mean, and we could, but it's one of those things, it's a little bit awkward when you don't have something going on. It's just, it's difficult. So it's a tough situation for me personally, and then obviously for the city to deal with, and we may, you know, lose some coaches and things like that. But getting into what is coming down the line here, Monday, which is Martin Luther King Day, a lot of us will have it off work. If you do, good. I hope you take the opportunity. I know it's early in the year, but you know, the holidays being as stressful as they were, I hope you have the opportunity to take a day and just chill and just relax. Also, you got the college national championship game on, things like that. So hope everybody has the time to have the day off and enjoy themselves. But it is our inauguration day. And like I mentioned in the beginning, Joe Biden, he's done. He didn't even seek re-election. And honestly, if we look at the last 4 years, there's a lot we could say. He didn't seek re-election, and then he came out like, what was it? It was close to the election, and said he regretted his decision to back out. I think a lot of people have some sneaky suspicions, right? Excuse me, that he was coerced or coached or guided into making the statement, backing out of the race. To be fair, I don't believe if he would have ran again that he would have won. And I think, or I hope rather, that the Americans who are out there and those of us that do participate in the electoral system and do vote and make our voices heard. And I say that very distinctly because there's a lot of people who just opt against participation in voting. And I've talked about it before, and I know I've lost at least a couple people because of it. You know, they think that they're giving, you know, power. They think they're giving power to unjust and corrupt men by participating. But the world goes on and the world keeps turning, and the cycle, it happens whether or not you participate or not. So why not participate and try to help be part of the solution? That's the way I talk about it. That's the way I look at it. And I think a lot of people were put off by Donald Trump in his first term. And I can't sit here and say that I don't understand that. And I can't sit here and say that I don't completely disagree with it. The way that I looked at it was that our country, from a lot of tangibles, and a you know, fiscal standpoint, things like that, a lot of the tangibles, we got better as a country. We had, you know, all-time highs in the stock market. Countries, I don't want to say feared us, but countries had a stronger respect for us from a military standpoint when Donald Trump was in office. We made the tough decisions. We went after some some high profile threats, right, across the globe. There were some kill orders carried out, things like that. And we don't have to get into the details of it, but those were, you know, not, and it's not to say that Obama didn't do that, because Obama did. There were a couple people, I forget the name specifically. There was one that Joe Fasanella mentioned when he was on, just a few days back there. We were talking about terrorism and things. You know, Obama made those decisions. Every president will. I think Trump was a little more aggressive. Now, he also, on the flip side of that, I will say, I don't think that he's single-handedly responsible for the division that we see in our country. I actually blame Obama more than anyone for that, because he was great at playing the race card. He was great at telling people in a very, very kind and professional way to basically hate each other because of things that happened in the past. I'm not saying we should ignore the past, but it is funny how we went from George Bush, who I did not like as a president, to Obama, and then the country went from loving itself to hating itself in 8 short years, and things have been spiraling out of control since then. A lot of people voted for Donald Trump just purely because we wanted to get away from the Democrats, and that's a dangerous mentality, because when the pendulum swung back the other way and, you know, people were voting for anyone other than Donald Trump, even people who were conservative, people who were libertarian or moderates or whatever, they weren't liberals, but they voted for anyone other than Donald Trump because he was just, oh, he's a liar and he needs to get off of Twitter and he needs to do this. And people found out that when you make those decisions, right, when you vote based entirely off of emotion and not, based off of facts, not based off of the data, not making a decision based off the information that is available to you guys. We all have the internet, and yes, we all have news, we all have media. I'm not saying you should trust all of it, but certainly you have the ability to access those sources and those influences and make a determination for yourself as a free American. At least I assume most of you guys listening are free Americans who have the right to vote, that, you know, you can make an informed choice. And I'm not saying you need to love the guy. You know, not every president needs to be or should be the next, you know, kind-hearted humanitarian soul, you know, like Jimmy Carter, right? I mean, Jimmy Carter did, say what you will about his presidency, he did a lot of great work, Habitat for Humanity and things after he left the office, right? Sometimes you need the heavy-handed individual who's going to restore order to, I don't say to the world, but we are the world superpower, or we were. And I believe that that's probably on the agenda for Donald Trump when he takes office, is to try and restore some modicum of respect to our military, to our country. I think we've had the very definition of a lame duck presidency with Joe Biden. And a lot of people will combat that, and they'll say, well, it wouldn't have been that way if the Republicans, who I try not to let my life get completely wound up in politics, especially because I really, for as much as I talk about it, guys, I really can't stand politicians. Unfortunately, it's hard for me to not get involved with some of it anyway, and then want to come talk to you all about the state of our country and how the world is impacted. I know there's podcasts out there that do it. I think they are incredibly opinionated and based not really in fact, but in some really, really damaging ideologies, which aren't conducive to restoring our country, or finding a strong way forward. That's just my thought. I know a lot of people will sit there and look at me and tell me that I'm simping for the government by taking the approach I do, whatever have you. But I do pride myself on trying to be a relatively educated and well-informed individual, even if that means I do have to get tied up in some of the politics. But I digress. The Republicans, I believe, held the House, and the Democrats held the Senate, and I think it flipped at one point, but what I'm saying holds true here is that the Democrats never had the majority in both the House and the Senate at the same time, which then did make it very difficult for legislation to be passed, and not necessarily just about, you know, the Second Amendment, but a lot of things, right? We did also see early on, right, the massive number of executive orders that were signed by President Joe Biden. And I believe, I could be wrong on this, but I do believe I saw a graphic on, it was probably Fox News, just full disclosure, because that's the only news source I will actually watch at least sometimes. Usually when I'm like traveling for work and there's just not a lot of access to stuff on the hotel TVs. But I do believe that Joe Biden signed more executive orders than any of the last like seven presidents. And I think more than the last couple combined, if I'm recalling that correctly, or close to that. The administration tried to govern instead of through the process that we've followed as the democratic republic that we are. They tried to govern through executive orders. So basically bypassing the legislative branch altogether, which is that it's a no-no. And I think once the Supreme Court had started getting involved with these issues and breaking some of these executive rulings or executive orders rather that the president had signed, people got back on the whole horse of we need to stack the Supreme Court. We need to do these things. And it's always the Democrats, it's always the liberals that are screaming for us to change the way that the country runs because their way of doing things isn't winning. And here's, you know, I've said it this before, you have to play the game to win the game. Okay, the game being, you know, your policies in the country, basically. So if your policies aren't passing and they're not being supported by the public, that it doesn't matter how you feel. Your job as an elected official, whether it's the president or, a congressman, a senator, an alderman, a mayor, right, is to support the will of the community which elected you. That's how elected service works. Personally, I do not believe that Joe Biden did that in his presidency. I think Joe Biden is the very culmination of bought and paid for politicians. And during his administration, we've seen a lot of things come to light because people are finally starting to ask, questions, which will certainly carry into the Trump presidency as it rightfully should. What I'm speaking of very specifically is the amount of money that many of these representatives and senators have made on trades using insider information. And it's the worst kept secret, you know, in the world that the American politicians are bought and paid for through lobbyists. They're bought and paid for, and they use the information from the various different groups and discussions and conversations that they're privy to make stock trades, you know, and a lot of them, like Nancy Pelosi, obviously, I think is at the top of the list. She may not have been the most lucrative, but she was the most obvious and stupid about it. They make comments like, oh, those are my husband's business dealings. I don't get involved with that. And it's like, really? Because you're on, you know, this panel for this or whatever, and then your husband went and traded some stock that was up, you know, and involved in that. And so you're telling me there's no connection there, and they just basically play dumb and they act all indignant. And even Dan Crenshaw, who I have a lot of respect for his military service and politically, have agreed with a few things with him. I really liked his book, I will say that, and I've recommended Fortitude before. There's a video out there of him getting really worked up and verbally, I don't want to say aggressive, but verbally excited, you know, when he was being questioned about the about laws being passed to prevent stock trading by elected officials. I think Thomas Massie was the gentleman, the Republican from, I want to say Tennessee, because he was involved. He was on a couple of videos with T-Rex Arms, which was really cool a couple of years ago, which I think should happen, honestly. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pay our elected leadership, but they certainly shouldn't become multimillionaires in public service. Public service is supposed to be, to some degree, a sacrifice. It's not supposed to be something that people get rich off of and set up their families with generational wealth. The Biden family is a perfect example of that. As you see, Joe Biden was in public service for 40 some odd years and, you know, obviously was the vice president for two terms for Barack Obama and one term as the president of the United States. There's the whole Hunter Biden laptop fiasco and all the money with Ukraine and business dealings over in that part of the world. And yeah, I mean, this whole shitstorm is a giant culmination where we start to see that our political system, not that most of us didn't know this already, but our whole political system is kind of, it's kind of infested with low quality people. And so let's talk a little bit about one of the expectations or predictions, whatever word, right, you want to put on this for the Trump presidency within the first 100 days. And that's something that every president is kind of evaluated on because it's 4 years, right? So 100 days is a little bit over 3 months, right? And everybody expects that in those 100 days, the concept here anyway, is that you can gauge a president's efficacy the impact he'll have on the country based off of what he does in those first 100 days, because you want to hit the ground running. You want to enact legislation or executive orders, things like that, right, to help set yourself up for success over the next several 100 days, obviously. And I do expect that with some of the nominations that are going through and that are underway right now for different cabinet seats and things like that, people like Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense and whatnot, I do believe that we will see a drastic shift in the climate here in the United States. We're already seeing things like Meta, right? So Facebook and Instagram coming under a lot of heat because they're getting, and not from the conservative side, just the very vocal left that seem to have infested the internet, right? Because they all live on the computer and they're scared to go outside and see the sun or touch some grass, or God forbid they drink some raw milk and eat some red meat. So there's a lot of upheaval and uproar because I think everybody sees that there's going to be changes coming. So this idea that there's going to be this DOGE, right, for the department or office for governmental something, I don't know. But basically, you're going to get Elon Musk and Vivek to kind of root out the unnecessary agencies. Places like a lot of people have suggested, hey, the ATF can probably go away. There's a bill that's been introduced right now, right, to basically remove suppressors from the NFA. I think it's a variation of the Hearing Safety Act, which I think has been proposed a couple times in the last few years. Obviously, it has not gotten passed because we're still paying unconstitutional tax stamps to be able to have suppressors. Now, I'm not saying, you know, hey, would I be willing to even meet in the middle and say you just got to pass the same background check process, much as you do with purchasing a firearm to get access to a suppressor? I think it's a big step forward, and I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm simping or, but I am trying to meet in the middle. I think that the path forward is through compromise. I think that if we compromise with a slight in our favor, I think that there's some room to that. You know, I certainly don't want to see people who shouldn't have guns have them in their hands. Speaking very specifically, to be clear, of evil folks, right? If people have a history of violent behavior, who have a history of domestic abuse and things like that, you know, I think that we can all agree that assholes shouldn't, you know, have access to firearms to some degree or not. And obviously, it's tough saying that. I can hear a lot of you guys rolling your eyes right now as I have said that, but it's not difficult. It's difficult because we don't want to say it because of what happens when you say it. And what I mean is that then people go, well, then we should have gun control laws. And because we've become a nation that is devoid of personal accountability, we want to legislate away all of our problems. We'll just make a law that says people can't do that. And then what you end up doing is restricting the rights of free Americans, which is not what I want, to be clear. But I also don't want to make things any easier on evil assholes in this world. And yeah, you can also rebut that and say that, you know, hey, well, maybe we need more personal accountability, more concealed carriers. I mean, yeah, we can have a whole discussion on that. And we've had a lot of those discussions in the past. We'll continue to have them here as things evolve and change. But I do think, getting back to the point here, that we're going to see in the first 100 days, we're going to see some drastic reductions in some policies. I think we're going to see the pipeline reopened. That was the first thing, I believe it was the first executive order signed by Joe Biden, was shutting down the pipeline here. And that's why we saw gas jump a dollar or a dollar and a half in the course of his first 100 days. It was absolutely fucking terrible. Trump had gas down below $2 for the first time since I can't even remember when. And it lasted all of about a month and a half, honestly. Now, COVID was another part of it's honestly, I think that is the biggest reason that the Biden administration and its legacy will be remembered is because of the COVID pandemic. And there was a lot of opportunity created there politically because of that. The amount of uncertainty, the lack of clarity around the science and things really helped shade things against, against Donald Trump. And I'm not saying he did everything right. God knows he probably made some mistakes. I think politically, the Democrats worked very hard to make it as difficult as possible for him. And I think that's wrong, you know, because you're starting to leverage the lives of Americans, for political gain and political capital, which is, I mean, that's a Democrat playbook. It really is. It's a political playbook in a lot of ways. But when you start looking at things like that, I think the Biden administration did it more than many. We still have to the best of my knowledge, hostages, American hostages being held by Hezbollah over in the Middle East. And I was on a work trip this past week. I was in Indianapolis for work, which sucked, to be honest with you. It was the first day I woke up there, it was -1 degrees outside. It was not that awesome. I remember getting back to my room, seeing news on Fox News, right? Like there was a peace treaty that was being discussed and signed and or proposed or whatever with Hezbollah and things. And then all of a sudden you have, I believe it was the Israeli prime minister. I think it was Netanyahu. He decided he was going to hold it up. And I don't know. It may have been signed since then. I haven't really followed up on it. I've been very busy the last couple of days with work and travel and, you know, obviously the Lions game and shit like that. But, you know, watching, what was it, KJP, the press secretary for the White House, addressing the press corps and people saying, well, what do you think about Donald Trump getting some credit here? Because, yeah, as soon as Donald Trump won the election, we talked about this in other episodes and sit reps, but things changed as soon as he won the election. There was, across the globe, there were changes. The stock market shot up here in the United States. Other markets, you know, financially speaking, other markets went up as well. You saw a change in the posturing between Hezbollah and Israel. Hezbollah made a statement saying they are ready to talk. They wanted to come to the table. They want to talk about a peace treaty. You saw changes in the posture in the Ukraine conflict. Yes, we immediately started trying to crank back the money to Ukraine, which also very funny that in the last couple months in office, what were Joe Biden's biggest moves? Oh, that's right. Joe Biden's administration, and I get it. The Senate and the House, they had to vote on some of that shit, was to make sure we sent another like $60 billion or something over to Ukraine for funding. And it might have been $60 million. I don't know. It's too much. We've already sent them more than enough money for this war, which nobody can seem to understand why it's still ongoing or how it's still ongoing, except that it's being financed by countries who have concealed interests, is basically the way I'll put it. So getting back to the point here, I think with the first 100 days in office, we will see some changes. I really do. Now, the stuff that concerns me is we're starting to see news now. It's probably because of the weather. The inauguration is being moved to an ice arena. I don't know the specific one, and I don't really fucking care. It's being moved indoors. That's fine. It doesn't bother me. It's cold as shit outside, and yeah, Donald Trump's like 78 or 79. He's not that much younger than Joe Biden. He's just doing better. Like, his mental faculties are better. And yes, I agree with all you guys. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that we can't find anybody any younger than their mid to late 70s to hold the office of president. I get that there's the benefits of wisdom, but you're telling me there's not somebody in their early 60s who wouldn't be a better choice, or their mid to late 50s, or hell, I mean, we've had presidents that were in their late 40s when they got elected, right? You're telling me there's nobody who can do a better job than Joe Biden in any earlier age range? And I'm not saying that age is the most important thing here, but I mean, like, God damn, right? So they're moving it into an ice arena, and now you're starting to see stuff, or at least I saw a couple things posted around Instagram and on the web. Oh, people are making predictions. Somebody, I don't know who, these prophets, whatever, had a dream that Trump got shot at his inauguration. Somebody had a dream that Trump got shot at an ice arena, and it's like, okay, well, a dream is a dream. And yeah, it being moved to an ice arena plus that stuff does make it kind of concerning. In combination, right, with the obvious concern that I think many people have, noting the relative incompetency of the Secret Service the last time around, or last couple times around, right? Because we did have the attempt on Trump in the middle of July in Pennsylvania, right? There was the shot that, you know, clipped him in the ear. And then there was the whole ordeal that happened at the golf course over probably a month or month and a half-ish after that, where somebody was detained and arrested and probably, I'm sure, thrown into some kind of prison, probably charged as a terrorist, I don't fucking know, for having firearms and stuff on a golf course that Trump was at. And I didn't dig into that one super far either. But what I am saying is, clearly there's a track record here. There's enough evidence to support the concern for what the fuck might happen. And I pray to God, like, I pray to God that's not the case. Not that I think that Donald Trump is the great savior of the world, but because a presidential assassination at this point in our country, in our history and the state of our country, would be catastrophic. And that would be the same if somebody else had won, a different party, whatever. I mean, look at what we're dealing with right now. The market, inflation is through the roof. We've already heard from the Fed that rates probably aren't going to get cut this year, maybe a quarter point. We did see an entire point cut from prime rate at the very end there of 2024. It was probably one of the biggest adjacent impacts to the news that Trump won the election, right, was they cut prime by a whole percentage point. And if those of you guys that don't follow finance, prime rate is what all of your interest rates are set off of. So your mortgage rates, your credit card rates, your borrowing rates and everything are all driven by prime. So a whole point, that's a lot, considering that usually the Fed, you talk about quarter points of reduction or increase. And we saw definitely the most increases under the Biden administration. But that the market is sensitive. You can't just see everything drop all at once. It causes other issues too. So, and maybe if you guys are, I mean, DM me if you guys are interested about that shit. I actually would not mind having an episode where we can, I know just the guy for it too. We could bring somebody on to talk about rates and the market and financial impacts and things, because it plays into prepping. It really, or it can, you know, in your decision making and setting yourself and your household up for financial success. But I digress. So, you know, that was one of the biggest impacts when we found out that Trump was getting reelected, is that those rates adjusted and things. But I think that if he were to be assassinated, it would be just, it'd be a tragedy, right? Any senseless loss of life would be a tragedy. But seeing the track record with the Secret Service, knowing that they have had issues locking things down to protect him specifically, yeah, I mean, who's not concerned at this point? Who doesn't have that little like wonder in the back of their mind? Hey, could it happen? And if it does, okay, my question is, what does happen if he's assassinated before he's officially sworn into office? Does Kamala Harris become, as the sitting VP at the end of the term, does she become president? Does J.D. Vance as the vice president-elect? I'm hazy on those rules, so I don't really know how that would work. But it could send our country into complete turmoil. And we're dealing with the wildfires in California, which to be fair, I know we all have the jokes about the Diddy parties and everything, but it is a little bit funny that during the election time and everything that's going on, and we have these fires, which I will also point out that these uber environmental based policies, like exactly what happened in California to save some kind of fish that didn't really serve any great purpose out in the ecology of what was going on, resulted in all of this. I mean, deaths, loss of homes. Some people have some really interesting ideas that this could be a orchestrated effort, if you will, to kind of just burn everything to the ground, literally, and start fresh and build an entirely green city. And of course, if it were to happen, where else but California would that shit happen? And that's pretty fucked up to think about, isn't it? But maybe it's a similar thing to what kind of, you know, we're seeing over in North Carolina right now with a natural disaster, wildfire, hurricane, whatever have you. And what's consistent is, where's the government to help with this? You know, just like we saw with the wildfires in Hawaii during the Biden administration, those families were given checks for $700 from the government. Can you imagine that? Like, I'm pretty sure I know what our demographics are. I know what the numbers are behind our audience. I'm pretty sure that most of us paid more for our homes than 10 times that. So you could get 10 of those checks, or sorry, 100 times that. So $70,000, right? You could get 100 of those checks and still not be able to buy your house back. Not to mention the market is so inflated, both in rates and things, but in homes and home values because of what's been going on there and things that it's a slap in the face. It's a straight up slap in the face, and it's the most obvious depiction of governmental failure under this administration. You know, even look at Hurricane Katrina, right? And that was I remember that it was during the Bush presidency because I was a senior in high school, I want to say, doing community service, helping to load semi-trailers and things to send supplies down to Louisiana when they were dealing with the aftermath of the hurricane. And that was under a Republican presidency. And we've had other people on. We've talked about some of, you know, the work or lack of work done by governmental agencies and things. FEMA, right? When we had Trey on, we had Tyler from Tacos Media on recently talking about North Carolina and all of that. So, and I think that's why a lot of people are excited that Donald Trump was reelected, because he's ready to push some more radical ideas. I think the first time around, he was just very abrasive. I don't know that he did too much. In hindsight, right? I don't know that he did too much that we would consider to be radical in his first term, but it does sound like he's taking a more radical stance now, talking about with, you know, Vivek and Elon and the Doge and everything to evaluate, which agencies are needed or aren't. Talking about drastic workforce reductions in many government agencies, which, yeah, I mean, on one hand, that's people's livelihoods and jobs, but at the same time, I think government employees, to an extent, right, have enjoyed a pretty comfortable lifestyle over the years where, yeah, the pay may not have always been the greatest, but the benefits were outstanding, you know, like medical and things like that, and also the job security. Like, when's the last time you really heard of a government agency doing mass layoffs and mass downsizing? It doesn't happen. It happens at every other major business and corporation in the world. You go through ups and you go through downs, and the good ones can minimize layoffs and the bad ones can't. And it's just an unfortunate truth of being an adult and being in the world, and we try to keep it at the back of our mind. But like I said, you don't hear about it with government agencies, and why shouldn't you, right? They're funded by our tax dollars, for God's sake. And if they're inefficient, shouldn't they be scrutinized and restructured the same way that our jobs are at corporations or companies or whatever have you, right? So yeah, I think we're going to see a definite shift in some of those things. I know a lot of people are upset about the potential of having to go back into an office, but I mean, that's the way things are. A lot of those people were in office or hybrid workers before the pandemic and should return in that regard, I think, if we're really looking at taking a true examination of efficacy and work ethic and things across all those agencies. Additionally, I think we're going to see a lot of, I'll say, deregulation and regulation in some efforts around what RFK Jr. is going to do. The banning of, was it red dye number 32 or 28 or something? I don't fucking, it's funny because it's been 30 years since it was banned in cosmetics and topical, like, products, things like that, right? Because it's bad for you and your skin and everything, but it's been left in our food. There's a clip going on around the internet and has been for several months now in a Senate hearing where you look at some Fruit Loops that were sourced from Canada, and they are much duller in their color than the American Fruit Loops. And it's because the American shit is just jam-packed full of chemicals and additives and stuff that's bad for you. There's actual data to and studies and things to support that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, another governmental agency here in the good old United States, they're doing the work to protect us as citizens, apparently, allegedly. But there's data to support and show us, right, that these foods lead to miscarriages. They make it harder for women to get pregnant. They are linked to drops in male testosterone and things like that. And it's become even more obvious in the last few years where we had all that whole string of weird fires. If you guys remember that, it was like years 2 and 3 of the Biden administration, where like food processing factories and things across the Midwest, I feel like it was, we just had random fires at a lot of those factories. So you saw like the price of free range chicken and cage free eggs and stuff go up, and all kinds of goofy shit like that. And people are saying that RFK Jr. is crazy. He's insane. He's weird for having these concepts and having these ideas. And it's just something, you know, the whole country's going to the shitter because you have people like him that are now being put in positions to make effective changes to our country. I'm here for it, man. I really am, especially for that kind of thing, because I think that the care of the human body should never be politicized. You know, guys like Anthony Fauci, I think, should serve maximum penalty sentences, if not worse, right, for the work they did against the human body in our country during the pandemic, because now you're seeing so much stuff come out. They're hiding him, he and his colleagues, that's why I say they, are hiding behind these laws that were passed by people that lobbied for folks like him to make decisions like the ones that he did. regarding the vaccinations and how safe they were, how much they really knew about them, whether they should be pushed out, all that kind of stuff. So it's been, I mean, guys, I can get into all this stuff for hours, but it's been a very, I think everybody listening, I think all of you guys will sit here and you'll agree with me. It's been a really difficult past 5 years, 4.5, 5 years, right? So I say that to include the couple months, the end of the Trump presidency, right? Losing, you're heading into the pandemic's last year, basically, of his presidency. Heading into the pandemic, the way the pandemic was handled, I know a lot of people lost jobs, lives changed. We've had people on this podcast who talked about that. Dan from Dynamic Principles, when COVID hit, he moved from New York and the sales job he had that he was comfortable with and doing very well to, you know, the Murfreesboro area in Tennessee and created Dynamic Principles. So, I mean, he landed on his feet, you know, but a lot of people didn't. It was really tough. And I think this past year, right, 2024, we talked about it a little bit on the pod when we did a wrap-up episode and a discussion that the struggles episode that John and Josh and I did right before the holidays. We released on Christmas Eve. It's been a really tough 2024. I think there's always going to be tough years, right? If we look at this as adults and just we're real with each other for a minute, you know, and we have an honest conversation here, it's really difficult sometimes. But I think that this, if we're keeping this in the scope of this conversation, I think that this this administration did a lot of things to make the lives of the American people much, much harder. And my wife actually directed me to an article or a study, something like that, online that I read. And they did the math. They kind of, you know, because you can look into some, it's not really an algorithm, but equations and things where you can adjust for inflation and whatnot, where people much smarter than me, right, were able to compare the Great Depression era against the last several years here in this country. And with adjustments included, obviously, right, people were better off in the Great Depression than they were in the last several years in this country. You see, you got double-digit percentage increases in groceries and utilities and cost of living, and people are making less money at jobs and things. You know, I know I work in product management. I now see jobs that were, you know, in a lot of places paying somewhere between $110,000 and $150,000 are being relisted with the same qualifications being asked for, by the way, for somewhere between $60,000 and $80,000. It's a 50% reduction in pay. And that's just in my particular career field, but I know it's happening all over the place and everyone's feeling the squeeze. It's been really difficult. And, you know, we all grew up taking those history courses in high school and college and hearing about and reading about and studying about the Great Depression. And we go, wow, that was the most difficult time in this country. People were genuinely in a really bad place. And we found a way to claw out of it and whatnot. And, you know, FDR was the great savior of our country. And I'm sure people debate that shit because they need something to do with their time, whatever. I'm not going to sit here and debate it. But man, to sit here and to think about that idea, right? Things were better off for folks, I mean, relatively, of course, but things were better off during the Great Depression than they are for us here in 2025. So with all the lessons that we've learned, all the history books that we have, and we still end up doing this shit to ourselves. And it's one of the reasons why I say, you know, that's a very famous quote, very famous because it's very fucking true. Those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. Or those who ignore the past are doomed to repeat it. You know, and what have we done? We spent the last 8, 12 years here, whatever. Thank you to the politician of mouthpieces that can't hear enough of themselves. We've ripped down statues of Southern generals from the Civil War. We've passed laws that discriminate, you know, just the opposite way around. We've done all kinds of dumbass shit in the name of mistakes of people in the past and ripped down monuments that help remind us of where we came from. Both good and bad, we should never forget where we've been as a country, as a people, right? That's what I mean. We look back at the Holocaust, we look back at the Civil War, we look back at things like the slave trade and slavery, right? Those things are terrible. They're terrible things. I think that I think that all of us would agree that we shouldn't go back to living life that way. Yet we constantly go out of our way to make sure that we are headed back in that direction. Oh, it's okay, because this time around, we're just going to disenfranchise folks with a different skin color or a different cultural, you know, whatever. And it's like, so two wrongs do make a right. That's the way that things have been headed, based off of how I think the administration that has been running the country for the last 4 years, I think based off of that and those ideologies, I think that was the way we were headed. So again, I do not want to sit here and just say that I think Donald Trump's going to fix everything and he's a great savior and he's going to walk on some water and part the seas and, you know, all that stuff. I don't think that's true. But I do think that it was the better of the two possible outcomes, given the choices that we had for the election. I think that with the immediate problems, which we can address, a lot of them being fiscal, he was the better choice. But we'll see. We'll see how all that plays out and everything, you guys. So obviously, I'll keep us all updated as the situations develop, as we get through Inauguration Day, and as we, you know, obviously we move through his first 100 days in office. I'll be very interested to see what happens, how it's carried out, if there's opposition, right? Because there's, you know, obviously, if you're going to start just like removing and trimming the fat, cutting back government agencies, there's a legal process there. And certainly that could really raise some questions, obviously. And it's probably going to get hung up if they are actually going to do that, and they do try and they are at least somewhat successful. There's a, I would say, better than a fair shot that it gets hung up in the courts for a while, at least, where you have some of these legislators that are just opposed to everything that Trump does, because that's what their party line is, right? That they're going to come back and say, no, you know, we got changes coming to Meta that I think I started down that earlier. I don't know if I really got into it. People are getting pissed because we're getting rid of fact checkers. We're going back to really actually allowing for the First Amendment in this country, minus TikTok, which I personally fucking hate TikTok. I mean, you can sit here and tell me it doesn't matter. It's not based in China, blah, blah, blah. I think it's a terrible fucking platform. The dumb shit that you see on there, videos of people, oh, here, let's put a bunch of screws in our tires to help traction and grip in the winter. And it's like, you fucking idiots are just going to destroy a tire. I feel like TikTok was where the fucking Tide Pod Challenge was birthed, but I digress. We are, by all means, it appears, moving back towards more freedom on social media and less censorship, which was something that has been proven and determined that this administration was very much in favor of. They were very anti-Second Amendment and, as it turned out, very anti-First Amendment. And the only thing, we all know this, the only thing standing between the First Amendment and its destruction is the Second. So, but at any rate, you guys, we're kind of coming up on, I try to keep these around an hour or maybe just a little bit under. So we're kind of coming up on the time here. I do really want to say thank you while you guys are still engaged in listening. I want to thank you guys for your listenership. If you guys want to drop us a review, if you're on Spotify or Apple, I know there's like there's star rating systems and stuff. If you guys want to give us 5 stars, it really helps. And share with your friends. We also have the YouTube channel that we've been working on. It's a huge goal for 2025, where we've already invested in better recording mics. I actually just did a video that should be dropping in the next few days here, if not the next day or so, kind of, you know, testing it out, doing a trial run, see how it does, which I think I was looking through the footage and doing the editing earlier today. Really, really good stuff. But check out the YouTube channel, like and subscribe there. That helps us out a ton as we're trying to move forward and grow and develop this year. Obviously shoot us a message. If you guys have something to share with us, you can also check out the Patreon page. Got a couple new people that signed up. I got notifications this week. Always cool to see that stuff. We're really moving in a direction where I'm going to try and be more deliberate with how much I post on there, and what I post, you know, and some of you guys can get direct access to us if there's specific content you want to request. You can sign up for that. The Patreon, you have the $3 tier, gets you access to exclusive episode recordings, kind of like what you're listening to here, but just for the Patreon only. Do blog posts and drills and targets and things like that. For $5, you get access to all that plus some of the exclusive videos. And then for the $10 tier, you get all of that. And then you get exclusive access to the team. So if you guys are interested in supporting us, that's an option out there. But I hope this is the kind of stuff that is helpful for you guys. And I know we have an audience all over the world, but this is important, as the leading world superpower, at least one of them, if that's not the case anymore, right? The stuff, it's worth talking about. It's and certainly I am going to try to be better this year, I think, about digging into world politics for these sit reps, where we talk about other countries, partner nations, adversarial nations, and things like that, developments that are rather impactful for you and I as American citizens, and talk about those things, talk about what it's going to do for us economically, talk about what it could do maybe militarily. Things are, you know, heat up, they escalate or de-escalate, just depending on, unfortunately, some of the political changes that are driven by, you know, our elections here in the United States. That's all stuff. It's crazy, but the further you get down some of these rabbit holes, I'm reading the book right now by Jack Carr on the Beirut attack in the early 80s, the Marine barracks that were bombed, and it is the politics that are all tied into it, inevitably. Leadership from the many tribes and militias and things over there, leadership in the neighboring countries, right? All of it rolls together into the decisions and the policies and stuff that impacted everything that happened then. So really, if you want to understand a lot of these current events and things like that, you really have to understand the politics behind it, unfortunately, because it's just how we govern as a modern society globally. But that's all I have for you guys this week. Hopefully, my intention is that these are always informative and helpful to you guys. If they're not, shoot us a message. We'll make some changes. I'm not opposed to that. But that's all I have for you guys this week. Thank you so much for stopping by and hearing me. We've got more stuff coming next week. You guys stay safe out there and stay warm. It's supposed to be very, very cold this next week, at least here in Michigan. But until next time, folks, you guys be cool out there. And like we always say, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.